And we'll be around after service. If you have any questions, please feel free to stop by and talk to us. If you would, open your Bibles to Mark chapter 2 this evening. Mark chapter 2. We're going to look at a very familiar passage of the Word of God. It's a familiar event that took place during the life of Christ. Mark chapter 2, we'll begin reading in verse 1. As you find it, if you will stand in honor of reading God's Word, Mark chapter 2, we will begin reading in verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. When they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you that we could come into your house this evening. Lord, we thank you that we have a copy of your word that we could read, that we could study, that we could preach from. Lord, even today there are pastors across this land, across this world that would love to have their own copy of your word. We're blessed. We have multiple copies in many cases in our homes. Lord, may we never take that for granted. Lord, we thank you that somebody cared enough about us and was friends enough to us to invite us to get to know you and to share your love with us. Thank you for that. Lord, as we meet here this evening, we ask that you will help each one of us to recognize our rights, our responsibilities, the job that you have given each one of us to do. Lord, as we look at this familiar passage of Scripture, Lord, we ask that you will speak to our hearts. Lord, we ask that not only will you speak, because we know that you will, but we ask that we will be open and receptive, that we will listen when you speak. Not only will we listen, but that we will respond. Lord, we want to thank you and praise your name. Amen. You all may be seated. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture. This passage of Scripture is a very familiar event that took place during the life of Christ. I want to give you just a brief background of this event as we get started this evening. But before we do that, I want to draw your attention to a couple of boating accidents that took place over the last couple of years. Just as way of introduction, on January 13th of 2012, the Costa Concordia, a cruise ship sailing the Mediterranean Sea, struck a rock. It struck the rock at 9:42 in the evening. At 10:30, the captain was so concerned about the state of his ship that he ordered supper to be sent to his stateroom. After eating his supper and receiving a briefing on the condition of the ship, he ordered an evacuation at 10:50. He then immediately left the ship. While the Coast Guard was evacuating his ship, they found him drinking coffee at a coffee shop on land. 32 people died in that accident, primarily due to a lack of leadership among the captain and the crew of that ship. A little bit closer to home, a little bit over a year ago, the MV Seawall, a ferry running between Incheon, South Korea, and Jeju Island, South Korea, capsized as it went into a sharp right-hand turn just off of the coast of Jeju Island. They tell us that the ship was overloaded, and as it went around that sharp right turn, the cargo shifted, and it caused the ship to capsize. After the accident, the captain came over the PA system and instructed all of the passengers to return to their cabins. Everything was under control. Let's think about it for a minute, okay? The ship was capsized. At the time that that message was made, they say the ship was listing 80 degrees. Basically laying on its side. Return to your cabins. Everything is under control. The captain and then many, but not all, of the crew then left the ship. 304 people, most of them students from a high school in Danwon, South Korea, perished in that accident. In both cases, the captains are currently serving time, one in an Italian jail, one in a South Korean jail for murder. It's easy for you and I to sit back and look at the actions of those captains and say, yes, they deserve what they got. And they do. Okay? Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Okay? It's easy for us to pass judgment upon those two captains. Because those two captains clearly forsook the responsibility that had been entrusted to them. They had been entrusted with a responsibility for their passengers. And they forsook that responsibility. When the situation demanded them to be responsible and to stand up, they ran away. This evening, I want to ask you, are you just like those two captains? You see, God has given you and I a responsibility too. It is a responsibility that is extremely clear. It is a responsibility that is unmistakable. It is a responsibility that we cannot even begin to say that we did not understand. He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That is a responsibility that he's given to me as a missionary. That's a responsibility he's given to you as a member of this church. Yes. It's not just the missionary that has the responsibility to reach the world. You have a responsibility too. And when you refuse your part of the responsibility, you are no better than those two captains. This evening, I want to look at this very familiar passage of Scripture. I want to look at this event that took place during the life of Christ. And I want to see the actions of four people. I want to look at these four people because I believe that they could teach us some things about bearing our responsibility. The message this evening is entitled, "Who Will Bear the Stretcher?" You know the story. You know the event. You know what took place. Jesus entered into the city of Capernaum. He went into a house there in the city and he began teaching and he began preaching. Word began to spread. The Bible says that it was noised about. People began to get noisy that Jesus was in town. Are you noisy about Christ this evening? The house filled up. But these four friends, they heard that Jesus was in town, and they decided that they were going to get their friend to Jesus Christ, regardless of what it took. So they picked up their friend, who, by the way, could not get to Jesus by himself.
Right.
The Bible says that he was sick with palsy. That means he was paralyzed from the neck down. He had no physical ability to get to God himself. He needed somebody to come alongside of him and take him to the Savior. You know, that's exactly where the lost and dying world is today. They're looking for answers. There's a God-sized hole in each one of us, but they're looking in all of the wrong places. The Apostle Paul says in the book of Romans that there is none that seeketh after God. They're turning to all of the wrong things. They need somebody to come alongside of them and take them to Christ. These four men decided that they were going to get their sick friend to Jesus because they knew without a shadow of a doubt that if they got their friend to Jesus Christ would, not could, but would make a difference in their friend's life.
Amen. Yeah.
I believe that there are three things that these four people can teach us. We know nothing about these four men. We don't know their names. We don't know their family situation. We don't know anything about them. But we do know that when Jesus Christ came to town, that they decided that they were going to be available to be used by him.
Yes.
That they were going to let nothing get in their way. They did not know when Jesus was coming to town. At that time in history, we did not have hand phones or Twitter or Facebook or any of the other means that we use to communicate with each other. They were not in existence. As far as we can tell from archaeological evidence and reading the Word of God, at no time did Jesus rent any type of billboard and put up a schedule of where he was going. It didn't exist. That wasn't how he worked. That wasn't what he did. He didn't take out a full-page ad in the city newspaper saying, "I'm coming to town on this date." These four men had no idea when Jesus was coming, but they knew that there was a possibility that Jesus would come to their town. They knew that Jesus was an itinerant preacher and that he was traveling around, and they decided before he came that they were going to be available to him. Before the situation demanded it, before they had opportunity, they decided that they were going to be ready when the opportunity came to them. Are you ready for God to use you tonight? Every single day, God places people in your life. People that desperately need to know about him. People that are searching for answers. People that need to know the truth of God's word.
Yeah.
Every single day. Are you available to God? Or have you said, "I'm sorry, God, I'm too busy today"? I doubt that those words would ever come out of our mouths. At least I hope they wouldn't. But our actions speak louder than our words.
Yeah, that's true.
How available are you to God today? Possibly even yet tonight, God is going to put somebody into your path that needs to know the Word of God. Are you available to be used, or have you said, "I'm sorry, God, I'm too busy"? These four men decided that regardless of the cost, regardless of what they had to put aside, they were going to be available to be used. And God used them in a mighty way. Not only did these four men decide that they were going to be available, they decided that they were going to overcome obstacles. You know, all an obstacle really is an excuse to not do what we know that we should do. We all know what we should do. It's presented to you every single service. I have no doubt about that. I've seen the announcement slides at the beginning of service. I feel like I know pastor's heart. You know what you're supposed to be doing. You know what the job is. You don't need us to stand up here and say that you have a job to do. You know what the job is. So the question is, what are you allowing to stop you from doing the job? Because you know you have a job to tell others about him. You know you have a responsibility. What are you going to allow to stop you from doing it? And then stop and think. Because really, all it is an excuse. When you stand before God and you give an account of how you've lived your life, what excuse do you think he is going to be willing to accept for not doing what you know you should do? These four men, they had plenty of obstacles to overcome. They had their sick friend. They had to physically pick him up and carry him. He couldn't get there by himself. As if that wasn't enough, when they finally got to the house where Jesus was teaching, the Bible says that the house was so full that they couldn't even get in the front door. Now, we might say, and it would be very simple to say, you know, let's stop right here at the front door. When Jesus is done teaching, he has to leave the house at some point. He's not going to be there forever. We'll stop right here, and when Jesus leaves, we'll get his attention, and we've brought our friend to Jesus. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? But it wasn't good enough to just get to the house where Jesus was teaching. They wanted to get their friend to Jesus. It wasn't good enough to stop at the front door. You see, all too often, we stop too soon. These four men climbed up on the roof. At this time in history, in this part of the world, most of the houses were made out of clay brick. They climbed up onto the roof of somebody else's house and began tearing a hole in the roof. Think about it with me for a minute, okay? If Pastor came over to your house and was teaching a Bible study at your house, and somebody climbed up on the roof of your house with a pickaxe and started tearing a hole in your roof, what would your response be? I don't know how it is here in Carlsbad, New Mexico, but I know where I'm from in southern Missouri, you're liable to be looking at a shotgun. Can you hear the crowd, though, as they were gathered around Jesus that day? And as these men started tearing a hole in the roof, you know some of that dirt, some of that clay, some of that rock was falling down on their heads. Can you hear the crowd yelling at them to stop? Can you hear the crowd yelling, "You're messing up my hair, you're getting me all dirty, what you doing up there anyway? This ain't your house to be tearing up." Can you hear the mocking? They didn't let it stop them. They continued on. They didn't let the obstacles overcome them. They overcame the obstacles. God promises that you are going to have problems in this world. He says in the book of John, "Ye shall have tribulation." You are going to have problems. You are going to have obstacles. There are going to be struggles in life. It's just a fact of living in a sin-cursed world. These four men decided that nothing was going to stop them from doing what God had told them to do. The two captains that I referred to earlier decided when the problems came, they were going to run. Yeah. What's your response going to be? We see from the lives of these four men that they were available, that they were willing to overcome obstacles. And we see that they had faith. That they had faith. They knew, without a shadow of a doubt, that if they got their friend to Jesus Christ, God himself, Jesus Christ, would make a difference in their life. It was not Jesus Christ might make a difference. It was not Jesus Christ could make a difference. They knew that Jesus Christ would make a difference in their friend's life. Amen. They knew that if their friend was brought face to face with God, that God would make a difference in their friend's life. And they decided that they were going to take that to the bank, so to speak. They were going to depend upon the Word of God, and they had faith in God and in His Word. God has promised that His Word will not return void. When we take God's Word out and we pass out a tract, it will not return void. It will accomplish His purposes. The Bible teaches us that it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. God will make a difference in your friends and your family's life. God will make a difference in those lives of people around you. If we're faithful to Him and we give them His Word. You say, Brother Elliot, I've presented the gospel to people. I haven't seen a life change. They haven't accepted Him as their personal Savior. Sometimes it takes years. What are you going to let stop you? Sometimes it takes tears. Yeah. The biblical principle is they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. What are you going to let stop you? These four men knew that they if they got their friend to Jesus Christ would make a difference. Amen. They knew that they could take the Word of God to the bank. They knew that the check was good. This evening, we started by talking about two ship captains. Two ship captains that very clearly forsook the responsibility that they had been given. A responsibility of their passengers, of taking care of their passengers. I am not proposing to you today that those two ship captains should have went down with their ship. I am saying that those two ship captains should have bared up to the responsibility and provided the leadership that was necessary at that difficult time for their passengers. Those two ship captains are serving time for murder tonight. It's easy for us to stand in judgment of them. But I want to ask you, are you just like those two ship captains? These four men decided that they were not going to be like the ship captains, that they were going to pick up that stretcher and they were going to bear it, that they were going to carry it, that they were going to do what was required to get their friends, their family, their friend to Jesus Christ. What are you allowing to stop you tonight? Are you available to Him? Have you surrendered all? As the song says, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I give. When the opportunity comes and He puts somebody in your life, are you available enough? Are you cognitive enough? Are you close enough to God that you recognize the opportunities that He gives you? And do you take them? Are you available tonight? These four men decided that they were going to be available. What are you going to allow stop you? These two ship captains decided that when the time came, that it didn't take a super whole lot to stop them. They fled at the first sign of danger. What are you going to allow to stop you from doing the job that God has given you to do? It's very clear. There's no mistaking it. There's no getting around it. God, there are obstacles that Satan has placed in each one of our lives. What are you going to allow to stop you? These four friends decided that there was no obstacle too great. There was no problem too great that would keep them from getting their friend to Jesus. What are you allowing to stop you tonight? I'm afraid of what somebody might think. Aren't you glad God wasn't afraid of what somebody might think when He went to the cross for you? It was a noisy time. It was noised about that Jesus was in the house. Are you noisy for Christ, or are you too afraid of what society might think today? These four men decided that they were going to have faith in the Word of God, that God would do exactly what He has promised to do. Do you have faith in the Word of God tonight? Or are you going to be like the two ship captains? It's a question that you must answer. If you'd stand to your feet, every head bowed, every eye closed, if Pastor would come on forward, I'm going to turn the service over to him. Will you bear the stretcher tonight? Are you available? Are you not going to let Satan's obstacles stand in your way to doing what you know that you've been told to do? Do you have faith in the power of God? These four men, we know nothing about them, but we do know that they have some things that they could teach us. Are you willing to bear the stretcher tonight?